Welcome to Nell and Matt's Obsolete Movies, the podcast where we revisit movies from our 20 plus 25 years of collecting films on obsolete formats. You can also think of this podcast as being about films from the VHS era that we do not necessarily watch them on VHS. And our film for this special Valentine's Day episode is Run Lola Run from 1999, and we watched it on VHS, this former Blockbuster rental copy on VHS, I might add, from, well, the price tag says Half Price Books, but I feel like we got it out of Dusty's Garage.
I think you're probably right about that, yeah.
Yeah, probably got it from Dusty's Garage. Yeah, Run Lola Run, German film from the late 90s.
98, I believe it was.
Yeah, 98, 99. And,
so I guess the question is, why did we choose this for Valentine's Day?
It's a love story.
At the core of it, it is a love story between Lola,
yeah,
the title character in Run Lola Run, and Manny, you have to say it that way, Manny and Manny, and their, a relationship in this kind of very difficult situation that arises in their relationship. So I thought for Valentine's Day, instead of a typical romantic comedy, why don't we do something that's about a high-stakes situation in a romantic relationship?
Yes, and it is also a film about what people are willing to do for love.
Yes.
As Manny and Lola, or Lola and Manny are, I said I can't do it right, kind of low-level criminal element people, and Monty has a job to do, and he makes a mistake, and he loses a big bag of lots of money, and Lola has 20 minutes to track down a lot of money.
I think it was like 100,000 marks.
Yes, 100,000 Deutschmarks, or else.
Or else.
And so, but of course, that's not really the film. I mean, that is the film,
yeah,
the plot.
I mean,
there is a way that summary can only go so far with this film.
And we should also mention that he's a bumbling boyfriend, right? So, like, when he makes the frantic call, it's literally because he left the money on the subway.
Yes.
So he's a kind of a bumbling boyfriend.
Bumbling low-level hood.
Low-level hood. She's actually upper middle class. You find out later that her father is a bank executive. But she has this vibrant red hair. Is
living a bohemian lifestyle.
With Manny. And he calls her and says, I'm in trouble. And so that kind of bubbling, him being not a very good crook, is also a core component of this movie.
Yes, and so then the other thing, and if you haven't seen it, what are you doing with your life?
If you haven't, though, honestly, like, if you've seen it, because there's so many films that reference this film.
Yes.
And down to the style. So
yes.
When this came out in 98, so many films afterwards wanted to have this, like, hyperkinetic feel to it.
Yes.
So if you've seen any film that has a really techno soundtrack with lots of running and lots of sharp cuts, you've seen.
Yes,
Run,
which
Lola Run.
I mean, so the box actually calls it a thrilling post MTV roller coaster, and yeah, but there's also this other element to the film which I'm just gonna say it. Is that time repeats itself in this film, that she has multiple attempts to get this 20 minutes to get 100,000 Deutschmarks to Manny before he does something even more stupid, before his underworld crime bosses kill him for losing the money. Yeah, she has multiple attempts at getting this 20 minutes correct.
Yeah.
And so it is that, you know, I think plays on that theory of sort of multiple universes and theoretical physics, where you make a decision and then the other decisions you make spawn other universes or whatever.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that, but Lola has the ability to, yes, at moments of despair, reset the clock to her being back in her apartment, getting that phone call, hanging up the phone,
yeah,
and sprinting out the door.
Which is fascinating, because it's, and there's also that thought of, like, the butterfly effect, right? Because yes, she encounters some people, and you flash forward and see their future, but it kind of changes.
Each time. Which is, I think, really smart in terms of how, yeah, you already know then at the second time through her, oh, the whole world is going to be different.
Right.
Because of what she's going to try this time, or how this is going to play out this time.
And whether she if she interacts with them, something happens, but then there's some people that she doesn't get to interact with again because she's changed her path. Also, it's kind of interesting, and I'll say I did like a lazy quick Google of it, that how does she stop time, right? So she gets to stop time and restart time. And that's not like often...
Yeah, I mean, I think it... I had an art history class as an undergrad.
Yeah.
And talked about how the photography changed painting.
Mm.
In that idea that you really could, instead of people posing, that photography lets us stop time.
Mm.
I think for Run, Lola, Run is the question of, is it a video game that changed film?
Mm.
Because the idea of the save point...
That's true.
You know, that there are people who, you know, complete a game.
Yeah.
But, and they log, you know, there's the amount of time that they actually play the game, but there's a limited number of times they play the game where it counts.
Right.
You know, I think I know somebody who, like, playing one of the levels of Final Fantasy, you know, I think reset a level something like 20 times to get through it.
Yeah.
And in a way, this is what that... The plot, the complicated plot structure of Run, Lola, Run is very much video game logic.
And in a way, she has, like, special powers,
too. And she has special powers, too.
So, I mean, A, like, she's able to get all this accomplished in 20 minutes, so she's running pretty fast.
She's
changing lives, but also she has this, like, scream that she pulls out in times of
that
need.
Can shatter glass, but also apparently warp the universe.
Yes. It's like a banshee of some sort. Like, she's able to have this scream with it.
Yes. And this film was the audience winner at the Sundance Film Festival.
Yeah.
It was revealed. I was actually looking through my Facebook profile memories. I Googled, or I searched in Facebook, Run, Lola, Run, and I remember sharing the event that I went to a screening back when Pittsburgh Filmmakers had a $2 essential art house films for $2, and this was one of them. And yeah, all of our friends our age had a kind memory of this film.
Yeah.
It was, I think, at the time, I mean, there was other things. There was Go.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of... Oh, what's the French film about the heist that goes wrong? The bank heist that goes wrong.
I don't remember. Oh, no.
Killing Zoe.
Killing Zoe, okay.
Yeah. Films like that. It took me a minute, folks. Films like that. I had some coffee, but not enough. That just had a different... There was some new thing was happening. And so when we watched it, back in the day, and I definitely rented this on VHS, I think as soon as we could, watching this film, because we'd heard, oh my god, Run, Lola, Run, you gotta check it out. And I think one of the things I think, you know, in terms of revisiting the movie in the 2020s, is I have to think about is, what happens when the future becomes nostalgic? Because watching this film... Originally, 99, 2000, when you were first able to get it on home video, we were not living in a place where you could watch films like this in theaters in 1998. What does that mean? Like, I remember watching it thinking, this is the future.
Yeah.
This is the future. Techno music was going to be the future.
Right.
You know, the fact that our attention, and I guess that part is true, our attention spans are gnats.
Yeah.
I mean, there's ways that the film. I mean, there's so many quick cuts in the film, and the way that that distorts time and the sort of very up-tempo.
And at itself, it's the film is, I believe, like 80 minutes.
Right? 81 minutes, approximately, so, says here on the box. I was just looking at that, too.
Yeah, it's a very short film. And a very at the core of it, like, a girlfriend whose boyfriend is a bumbling crook who got himself in trouble. That theme we've had millions of times.
Yeah.
So the premise is actually really simple, but it's that this reset happens and she keeps getting a chance to get it.
Yes.
Get it right. But oddly, with the last one, it's not actually about her getting it right. And that's the successful one when you think about it.
Yeah, that is true. But then this other thing happens. I mean, he makes the better choice. She makes the better choice.
Yes.
And it's an accident that sucks them both into the better choice.
Right. Yeah, which is fascinating with it. Yeah. So with the opportunity to replay it and retry it, and you do get a sense that there is some memory of the other tries, because she in the first try is using a gun but doesn't know about a safety, but in the second try she knows about the safety and takes it off.
That's true, yeah.
So there's some memory, and even the security guard for the bank, the third time he's like, "Oh, you finally came." So it's like, there is some sense in memory, but he's also, the security guard is also the person at the beginning of the film offering these existential questions. So it's like, who is the guard in all of this, right?
Yeah.
It's like actually really fascinating.
It has this very weird, like, almost sort of looking like peace symbol logo on his
I was hat. Actually thinking affinity symbol.
Yeah.
When I looked at it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that it was an affinity symbol that he had. So, like, who is he as that figure? And his statements to her are always very, like, ominous. Like, he kind of has a knowledge of what's happening to her.
Yeah.
In that. So, it's like, who is this figure and this being? But on top of that, so her boyfriend is in trouble. She decides to get her father, who's a bank executive, for help. And
who has lots of access to lots of money.
And he actually...
Which is logical.
He's having his own relationship crisis because it turns out he's been cheating on his wife with another woman. So Lola gets into that in the middle of that as well.
Yes.
With that. So there's all these like crises that are happening around her that she has to also deal with as well.
Yeah, which is also, there's such an interesting, then the exhibition starts after, right? Mm-hmm. You get the crisis, but then you get her backstory through those interactions with her father.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you think about that, like, I was thinking about this, and because they're probably in their early, maybe late teens, early 20s. You have to think maybe they're 21, 22. And that realization that hits you at some point, whether it's you're 14 or whether you're 27, that some point it hits you that your parents can't solve your problems, right? And that you can't.
Yes.
They're not the ones who are going to help you through the situation. And you get a warning at the beginning of the film because she says she's going through a list of people and she says, "Dad," and then he pops up and it shakes his head. Like, no.
Yeah.
So also getting it right involves them getting it right, not seeking other people's help in getting it right. And so that lesson that she had to learn, that her father isn't the person she thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
And that he wasn't going to help her through this situation. So there's also, like, growing up that's happening.
Yeah.
Through this.
Through
cycle.
That, and it's through them forging maybe their own sense of home.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the really fascinating things about this film and the way that it manipulates and distorts time, we should also mention that there's moments, there's animated sequences.
Yes.
In the film as well, where she becomes a cartoon, which adds a whole extra fantastical, sort of stunning element to the film.
Yeah.
Which is, again, something, I guess, Roger Rabbit, but, you know, if you had really seen anything like that much before. But the first two times it doesn't work.
Yes.
There is a scene of Lola and
Manny
in bed.
Manny.
Sorry, I was looking at you to do it the
Manny,
way.
Manny, I did it wrong. Sorry. You gave me the opening and I messed
in
it up.
In bed, and you assume it's this sort of maybe post-coital moment, and they're asking each other these questions about their relationship, and which I think young people do when they're just coming together in life. And I think that's what makes this a Valentine's Day film.
Yes.
Because you do have such a strong sense of definitely Lola's love for Manny.
Yeah, you know, it was so funny because I was reading one thing about it and the reviewer was saying he felt that what the film represented was Lola feeling out of sync with Manny sexually, and that the last time she's no longer the heroine because he is now more capable, right? And so now he's finally sexually caught up with her, and that she's questioning throughout this film if she loves Manny. And it, for me, it's like, there's no question that she loves Manny.
Yeah, I mean, the times he dies.
And I think she also, there's the, when he makes the initial phone call and says, Lola, I'm in trouble. If she didn't love Manny, she wouldn't have gone through everything
that she went through.
She could have hung up the phone and just not done anything.
Yeah.
Or slowly gotten there knowing that Manny was going to make a stupid choice and he'd no longer be her problem. So I think this love actually that conquers time and space.
Yeah.
It's this amazing love that she has for Manny and Manny has for her. And he says she's the best girl of all, which she demonstrates that through all the time loops.
Many times. And what she's willing to do. I think it's also, there's a couple other things that the film does that it's, I think is really fascinating. One of them being that, yes, they get into trouble because of crime, because of the underworld.
Yeah.
But they're still such likable characters and you're rooting for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I also want, you think at the time too, because the Berlin Wall would have fallen in 89,
yeah.
Right? So, like, now we know Germany as being, like, very financially stable and kind of still, like, a major world power. But that was 10 years post, not even fully 10 years yeah. post Berlin Wall falling. And the economy was really bad in Germany for a really long time.
Yeah.
And so, very much like with Russia, that you often had, it was more profitable to do crime than it was to do a legit position. And
yeah.
So in a way it's like, in a way too, you're like, oh, what's the circumstance,
yeah,
that's that kind of put him, that crime makes more sense for him,
yes,
to fall into than anything else. But also, if your dad's a bank executive, why are you hanging out with Manny, right? Like,
yes,
that kind of thing.
There is that, but then you also find out that the dad with the legitimate job is a less than admirable figure as well.
Exactly.
And that I think I find the fascination that the solution, the best solution is the most gentle one.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that's the one that everything works out.
Yeah. And, it, you know, these questions of, like, determinism versus free will, because that scene in the casino, it's almost like she wills that roulette wheel to do what it needs to do.
Yes.
Which is actually amazing. But you're right, like the final one, the one that works.
The solution
is actually much more gentle. And there's this blind woman who actually appears in all three segments, and she actually is the one who guides Manny on the correct
path,
the correct solution. I think she says something like, listen, and it draws his attention to something. She draws him. So the other thing about it, there's these interesting figures. Like, so who's the blind woman? Is she aware of these other alternative realities? Who's the guard? Like, he seems to be aware of what's
yes.
happening.
There's also the woman with the stroller who has three very... I shouldn't say how many. She has multiple very different outcomes with her life.
Yeah.
Because of this momentary interaction with
Lola.
With Lola. Which also is this, like, fascinatingly complex way of thinking about, you know, about time and the human personality. And, you know, there's that thing in Douglas Copeland's book about Marshall McLuhan, where he's doing this, like, very, this biography of McLuhan that is both historical and biological in nature, and talks about the million little things that happen to make a person who they are.
Right.
And this film tells a story based on that.
Yeah.
And so it's also interesting for me doing, you know, humanities in an academic setting, because one of the big things we talk about now is the assemblage. The idea of the assemblage and assemblage theory.
Okay.
And that, you know, thinking about life in just terms of community or even within a national context and reading a text that way, and it's a very simple way that does not fully comprehend all of the ways in which social reality comes together. And so in that way, Run Lola Run is also ahead of the curve in terms of this sort of almost sort of speculative fictional world that is now the way in which is now like sort of maybe the cutting edge of art and of theory, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, actually also being ahead of its time. So Groundhog's Day was early 90s, like 92, 93, yeah, which has a time loop in it. So there's time, it's a time loop in it, alternative realities in it. So it's also ahead of its game because, you know, Marvel is being celebrated
for that now. And
Gunter
Grass's The Tin Drum is like that, where time resets.
Yeah. And so it's definitely ahead of its time in that it is an action film. It's definitely an action film. But it has all these universes that could potentially happen.
Yeah.
Or there's even the film Butterfly Effect, right? So there is a sense of butterfly effect happening with it. The other thing that struck me this time, too, is... Oh, and if you're a fan of Netflix, Russian Doll. Russian Doll borrows heavily from Run, Lola Run. The thing that struck me, though, with the last time loop is that... so there's these... Because it's a time loop, there's certain things that come up again and again, right? So there's a car that almost hits her, but crashes into another car. There is these people she encounters... there's the ambulance.
Yes.
And so the last time she actually gets into the ambulance, and I believe it's Mr. Myers, the man in the car, in the ambulance, and she sits with him and holds his hand, which actually stops him from having a heart attack, and he calms down and he's okay. So in a way, is it like... It kind of left me in a way like, was this time loop, could the time loop have been about him? Was her destiny to save him?
Yeah, which was also the Ned Ryerson theory of Groundhog Day.
Yeah, which is interesting. Well, right now I went there. But it's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because he, at the beginning of the time loop, he has this encounter with Lola. And then you don't realize that actually he's the one in the ambulance each time as well. And he would probably was in the ambulance. They hint at it. He hits the mob boss's car. So they hint at he's probably beaten up severely. But the third time is actually a car, like a really severe car crash, and he's in there. So that's also interesting too, the impact that she has on this person who seemed very minor at the beginning of the film, but she actually saves his life at the end of the film.
Yes, that's Libby and Hildy, everybody.
Our dogs.
There's something going on outside of the house.
It's probably someone walking their child, and how dare someone walk
their child in front of our house, yes. Yeah, so what else? Oh, dogs.
So you probably know the lead actress from The Bourne Identity. So she's had a very extensive film career after this. And the gentleman who played Manny has been in a lot of films as well. The director and writer of this, he actually worked with the Matrix films. He was often an advisor on the Matrix films.
Which is also ahead of that curve, I think.
Ahead of that curve.
In terms of that sort of new wave of sci-fi that came about.
But he also did a film called Perfume, which is also this very beautiful film. Both films almost also an exercise in style and technique.
Yes.
Another beautiful film as
yes.
well.
Which we own on DVD, so we will not be reviewing on the show, unfortunately.
Mm. Highly recommend it.
Highly recommend. I also have to say, and again, just upending reality the way that this film does. This is the only film I think I've ever seen where the credits scroll from the bottom at the end.
Yes. Which is actually, like, jarring and the first time you see it.
Yes, which is fascinating for something so simple to be so jarring. But I think, again, it says something about how we make a reality. And that's the point of this film.
Absolutely.
And Unconditional Love.
Yeah.
Unconditional Love is number one.
And that's why we picked it for this
yes,
one.
Yes, for Valentine's Day. Yeah. So, shall we move on to the five big questions?
Absolutely.
All right. So, is it camp? Question one, is a camp, retro, a classic?
I think
or
it's
just an old movie?
I think it's a classic. Yeah. I think there's a lot that you can revisit in this film. And you can see how it is a massive influence on future films. And there's even, if you Google it, if you go on Wikipedia, you get a list of all the films and TV shows that reference this movie. There was actually even a Nickelodeon show that had an episode called Run, Candace, Run. And so it is everywhere. And so if you haven't seen it, you should see it. It's,
yes.
it's a huge classic.
And I think, you know, in the era of, you think, even stuff like TikTok, the super quick cuts.
Yeah.
And the ability to, like, sort of jump a timeline. In a way, it also predicts, like, what has happened to the human attention span and the way in which, you know, or an Instagram story that's 13 seconds, the old Instagram stories that were only 13 seconds long.
Yeah.
Very much. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Run, Lola, Run still looks like.
Yeah.
And, yes. So, what about question two, then, and I guess I'm turning that way already, about the social, political distance of Run, Lola, Run?
Well, I think she's an amazing heroine in the film.
Yes.
So, I think in terms of a feminist perspective, she really is in control of her destiny. And though she makes wrong choices, she finally does get it right.
Yes.
And she's very much in control of her destiny. She's also just like this powerhouse throughout the film. She has this shock of red hair, and she's just a really powerful figure throughout the film. Even in the casino, which a casino in Germany is not like a casino in Vegas, and she shows up in a tank top and bright green pants, and they're like, you can't go in. She gets convinced them to go in, and they're about to escort her out, and she turns and says, one more game, and everyone obeys what she asked them to do. She's just a very fascinating figure. There's also no, like, you know, often when we do these films, there's the ook factor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and there's no ook factor in this.
No.
There's no, like, weird sexual dynamics. There's no weird gender
dynamics
you're
right.
that are happening.
And like I said, I mean, even though they're part of the underworld, they are relatively harmless.
Yes.
And unless they're pushed to extremes, and in two of the scenarios, they are pushed to extremes.
Yeah.
But you have this very real sense that deep down, they're very good people in a very desperate situation.
And, you know, that time, right, and desperate, and when you're in a desperate situation, your brain doesn't function the way it needs to. And so,
yes.
what if they had an hour or 2 hours to figure this out?
Yes.
Would they have gotten to the better solution?
Yes.
If they had more time?
Yes. And also, I think there, the fact that the banker dad, again, the banker dad with a legitimate, I mean, our contemporary moment of cynicism where we realize that people in power are often beyond accountability, or often quite terrible people. You know, there is the feeling like only the worst people in the world get to run anything.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's still very apt for the film and for our reality today.
Yeah.
Question three, I think, is actually weirdly for a film that made us feel like we were watching the future. This question about the technical distance.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I was thinking if they had a cell phone, this film.
None of this. Yes, exactly. It's in the era of cell phones. Run, Lola, Run does not happen.
Though there is a remake on Netflix, so I'm curious how they resolve that issue.
Yes,
but the way they get into the reason Manny gets into trouble is that he has sold, you're assuming, stolen cars. He gets diamonds for the stolen cars, and he meets somebody in the middle of nowhere to turn those diamonds into cash. And Lola was responsible for picking him up in the middle of nowhere. She's late. And because
she's late because her moped was stolen.
Because she was late, instead of waiting for her, he decides to
take the train. Because there's no, he says there's no phone, no nothing, so I just walk to the nearest subway station.
Right.
Which he could have sent a text message. He could have called for a taxi.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And so because there's no cell phone, that's why he gets himself into trouble. But in this day and age, it would have been a text or, you know, I guess the way to solve it would be his phone died or, you know.
Or something. Or he lost his phone, too, when he got off the train. But then that's late because he would have already think. So, yeah. But everything else apt. Question four. What was it like to watch this film on VHS?
Well, so I have to say it's the previews.
Previews were amazing for this film. In fact, that I'd only heard of one of the films.
Yes, yes. So, you know, Run, Lola, Run was entered into for foreign film for the Oscars. So it's a prestige film. It's Sony Classic. Yeah. So it's considered a prestige film. And so they tried to have prestige previews. And I think there was only one we knew. The one I was like, oh, I think that's a film about Joan of Arc, but I couldn't remember the name of it. The previews were really fun to watch, and we could have fast-forwarded through those, but we decided...
You gotta love it. And again, it's we're scouting out for future episodes sometimes. Yeah. We have watched a preview, and I have gone to eBay immediately and said, let me see if I can find this on VHS or Laserdisc.
I'm actually curious about The Messenger, because it has an interesting cast with that. Yeah. So, A, it was, you know, the previews were... Having the previews was fun. There was a little, like, fuzziness, you know.
Yeah, this was also, I should say, this was a former, I said this again, this was a former Blockbuster rental copy.
Yeah.
It still has the please remember to rewind sticker with the I think, the anti-theft stripe is, it's under there. This VHS tape has been watched many times.
Yes, and so, unfortunately, with VHS...
Especially other people's players, people who never cleaned the heads of their VCR ever in a million years, which I need to do that.
So
that was part of it. But also it very much for me, for a film where the future is now retro, is now nostalgia, it felt period correct in ways that I think a 4K restoration might not.
Absolutely.
So question five, I think... We've already settled this, I think. Will we ever watch it again?
Yeah, I think it's one of those films that you need to take time from rewatching it. Because I feel like I forgot the sequence. I forgot. There were certain things I remembered.
And there were certain plot twists in the previous scenarios that didn't work out. And the one that did, that I thought, I forgot about that.
So I think to enjoy it, it's one of those films that you put away for a little while and come back to.
Yes.
So I don't feel like it's one that you can necessarily every 6 months or 12 months watch. I think it needs to have some time, a time away from it, so that you kind of forget the scenarios, so you still have a sense of like, you know, like, oh, that's right, this is happening, this is going forward. I guess in the other sense, you can, you know, this time, because we've watched it so many times, I knew how the film was going to end. I knew it was so there was little things I did notice this time of like, oh, the security guard, why is he so ominous? What's with the blind lady? So there was certain things that I did notice a little bit more this time, just because I knew how the film ultimately would end. But I do think it's one you shelve for a little bit and come back to, but we'll definitely watch it again.
Absolutely. And on that note...
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks.